The Bible says that God is always speaking to us, but how do we know when it is conviction or when it is sometimes shame and guilt that we are placing upon ourselves?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this one. This is one we have had a lot of talking about beforehand and recording. So we have put a lot of work into this to try to define some terms and to bring clarity into a topic that is so needed today in your day-to-day life and the way in which you view God and the way in which you connect to God, relate to God. So I'm super, super excited for this one. And I think it's going to bring truth to where there might be darkness in your life.
That's so true. It's a sensitive area because we're talking about how do you really hear God and how do you, you don't want to miss the moment that he's speaking to you, especially if it's an area where he's wanting to mature you, grow you, free you. But that's a very tenuous moment right there because there's another voice that speaks into that. There's a lot of voices actually that speak into that. And you want to make sure you get it right.
Yeah. I was going to say, because one of the things you need to know how to hear God's voice and what voice he speaks with into our life.
Yep.
And something that I hope that this podcast does for you is that it reveals what God's voice is not.
Yeah.
Because that's something I think that is more sad, is not just when someone doesn't hear God's voice, but whenever they're attributing another voice to being God, the voice of guilt and shame coming from God, right?
Yeah, because for me, and I own this on me, I, in my early days of my faith, I'm really rethinking through this, but I think this would be true. I believed that most often the voice of God, when he spoke, it was to send guilt, conviction, or heaviness.
So there's a three terms right there that each person who listens to this might have a different definition for that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I laugh just because of the response here, but it's not a funny thing. When I don't know that I heard any other versions of the, or believe that there were other versions. I thought that it was his purpose, his intention, and my responsibility to lean into that and hear correction, conviction,
do better,
change, wrong, not good, don't do that. And so you lean into all of that. There's a result. There is a specific result that comes about in someone's life. If that's what you believe the voice of God is primarily for.
Yeah. So there is what we have learned and been taught by people through example or through actual teaching of someone. And then there's also what the Bible says, you know, and sometimes those aren't exactly the same, right? So what we're going to do today is go from the scriptures into this matter. And to start it off, we have to remember the character of God and how he has chosen to relate to us, right? So unquestionably, Jesus came to remove the weight of sin from us. He says, I am the way to live. I am the truth. There's no other truth but him.
Right.
And then he is the life. And so that is, we have life through him, right? And so that is, we have to start there. This is who Jesus is, right?
I think most people would say, of course, amen, and you're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but there are far-reaching implications. If,
if
that really is what he came for, then everything about him would have that tone to it, direction to it, and motivation in it.
Yeah, way, truth, and life. Yeah. So today, some of the questions that we will be asking and discussing are this. First one, how do you know that what is being said is specifically God? And then who is convicting you? What does convicting mean about sin? Who or what is showing you the sin that's in your life? How about that question? Another question is this. What do you do when the sense of weight of your sin stays with you? This is even after you have become a Christian. This is after you've confessed, after you've repented.
Mm-hmm.
What is that weight doing on you still? Does it have to stay on you?
Right.
Or is it removed? Mm-hmm. How does it get removed? All that.
Right.
So
right.
we'll get there.
Yep.
And then is guilt and shame something I will always experience, have, be weighed down by, feel sick because of as a Christian? Mm. Am I always going to have guilt and shame feelings on my own life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo, it's important.
So it's just a light, easy, super quick podcast today.
Yeah. And I think everybody can understand the conversation about guilt, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not.
Mm-hmm.
There, everybody at some point has the awareness of that there's something that feels wrong about what I just did.
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel badly about it. So, you know, whether you call it a weight upon you,
mm-hmm.
An uneasy feeling,
mm-hmm.
or something that just doesn't feel right, it's a tension within that you know you want to get rid of.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is why Jesus came.
Yeah.
To remove that
mm-hmm.
from
mm-hmm.
our lives. Because no one can bear up under that.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer you try to bear up under it, the worse life becomes.
Yeah.
He came to remove the guilt of past sins. He came to remove this belief that we should just walk in continual self-punishment, self-annihilation,
mm-hmm.
despising ourself. He came so that would all be removed, so we might actually walk, really, truly live with a sense of freedom and mm-hmm. a being able to mm-hmm. breathe.
Confidence, even.
Yeah, and confidence that has been removed from me mm-hmm. once and for all.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us that Jesus came for this purpose. It also tells us that the enemy came for the opposite. That
mm-hmm.
the thief, Jesus said, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that we may have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to just keep remembering why Jesus came, what he came for, what's the purpose. Isaiah tells us in a prophetic announcement about Jesus that he has surely borne or carried our griefs and our sorrows. So he carried upon himself, and he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement or the punishment that would give us the ability to have peace was laid upon him, and that by his wounds or stripes, we can actually experience healing.
Mm.
This just keeps driving home that Jesus wants us to be free from the weight of guilt and shame.
Yeah. And everyone at some point has known or maybe actively know you're walking in ongoing guilt, right? Guilt of things that you have done. And what that looks like in your own life is a continual replaying of failures, of the worst things you've done, of your worst days, of just any time you've come up short. It's a continual reminder and a replaying of those times in which how you could have done things better, how you should have done things better, how terrible the result is, and you just doom cycling through all of this stuff, right?
It's true.
You're replaying through this, and you're
doom scrolling on your phone, but they're so old they're actually you're doom replaying on your DVD.
Yeah.
Or maybe even your own VHS tapes of your past, you know?
If you're a real OG.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
They're that old.
Yeah.
Those memories.
But it also can show up in racing thoughts whenever your mind never has peace. You're always afraid of what is someone else thinking or doing or saying about me, and why can't I, why shouldn't I, or why did I, all this. all of the questions and the racing thoughts. It also shows up in depression and anxiety whenever you have an ongoing weight over what you have done and ongoing guilt, right? Yep. You have intrusive thoughts that you're like, I don't even know where that came from, but now I am afraid that this is God actually trying to tell me through my intrusive thoughts that I actually need to do this or that someone, you know, crazy, right?
Yeah, I heard someone explain depression one time as related to, like, if someone had run a physical marathon, your body afterwards would be physically exhausted. I heard depression described as an emotional exhaustion, where you have so been in the mind churn. It's like you're just, you're perpetually on the running wheel, you know, the hamster wheel. You can't stop. And then eventually you just get to where the mind and the heart and the emotions just are depleted. And it leads to depressive thoughts. I think that's what happens when you replay replay shame, replay failure, replay past, beat yourself up, tell yourself how miserable you are. You didn't do enough. You should have done more. That will absolutely wear your soul out.
And no one likes living in that, replaying failures, racing thoughts, depression, anxiety. No one likes that. And much more, no one can bear that. No one truly can bear that and be healthy, growing, thriving, living their life in joy. Like you, those don't coexist, right?
Correct.
No one likes that. But what's crazy is some people have attached that to this is what God, this is how God is relating to me. So I better like it, or I better find it so that I know God's relating to me. And it's just like, we're here to say that's not the case. Not the truth, right? Everyone who is experiencing this is looking for some way to deal with it, right? So some people try to like lean into it in a weird, like super self-punishment way. In a sad self-punishment way, I should say. No one can bear that though. No one.
It's true.
It's too much. And so some attempt to numb that pain or silence that pain or, you know, act like it's not there and all this stuff, So that is why you see people turn to substances. That's why you see people smoke and vape and, you know, do weed and all the crazy drugs and all that stuff. Because it's like, this is so crazy. I've got to get out of my brain. I've got to get to a different mindset, you know.
I need something else to give me some momentary pleasure.
Yeah.
Whether it's any of those substances
food. Yeah, exactly.
Or drink, whatever it is. Yeah. Something, I need something that'll make me feel better than how I feel about myself ongoing.
And that is why people get lost in their work, because they're so guilty of what has happened in the past. They'd rather just get caught all up in something else to where they think that they won't have enough time to think about it. You know, or they'll have so much going on that they can't, you know, busy themselves with something else, right? That's why people get lost in other realities, movies, TV shows, whatever it is, you know, get lost in social media's scrolling, doom scrolling, all that stuff. You get lost in pleasure seeking, trying to just make yourself feel better and hope that in doing things that you like or that make you feel joyful or whatever for a time, you'll lose that feeling. Or some people lean extra religious, like we were saying. Some people try to do good things as a type of way to pay it off. It just doesn't work. And some people just literally punish themselves in an attempt to atone, or in an attempt to numb or silence what has happened.
Yeah. And sadly, those, every one of those will give a momentary dopamine rush. You'll get something that'll make you feel good for a little bit, but it's not ever enough. And so you have to go back to the substances and then you become dependent upon them.
But again, everything is external. Fill this internal gap, break, void, tear that I have.
And where this is most sad to me is when it happens within people of the faith. Because this is the very thing Jesus came to set us free from. But for because they have believed that Jesus is the guilter and the shamer, they can't turn to him because he's got more guilt and shame for them. And so then it just, the enemy loves that moment because then he has got someone split into double life. Okay, you go do your church thing, but behind the scenes, I got you still. You're still trapped.
Yeah.
And they can't admit it because then they have to admit they're failing, that the system isn't working. But we have to remember, Jesus did not come to give greater guilt. Jesus did not come to give greater shame, frustration, demands upon our life, condemnation, rejection, and failure. Here's what the Bible says. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus did not come for the intent of condemning. He came for the intent of freeing.
Yeah.
Mm. Whew, that's so important in this whole discussion, just to remember that truth. That's why we're spending a little bit of time here.
Yeah.
On building that foundation, because everything else we're going to build on top of this foundation.
Yeah,
Jesus came to free us from guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
Yes. So again, we have to know that that is the foundation, that Jesus again came to free the sinner, came to set the captives free, to remove the debt that we have owed to God because of the sins. There is a gap there. There is a void.
Yep.
We are born outside of the kingdom. And so he has made a way to bring us into the kingdom, not by way of guilt and shame, but by making a way for us. Right. So everything in the Old Testament led to that. That's all the pictures of the Old Testament are pictures of Jesus, you know, and his redemptive work in humanity, right? Yep. Everything that he did took him to that place. Everything he said was about that truth. All the teachings, all the disciples that he had were all toward that end, right? Everything in the New Testament church said and did affirm that work, you know, and that completed work. Everything in the New Testament teaching affirms all of this, right?
He had come to free us, to remove sin and the debt and the guilt from us. Hebrews 10, 16 and 17 gives us a very short answer to this lead up.
Mm-hmm.
It says in those verses that God says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." In other words, I'm going to put new desires inside them, that they actually desire what is right and what is good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does he do that? Verse 17 says, then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Mm. He did not come to keep reminding us of the list and create an even longer list. He came to cause us to know that in this new covenant through Jesus, that our sins are remembered no more. And if that is the case, if that is the foundation we're building on, then any other voice that attempts to cause us to remember our sin is not from him. Mm-hmm. It's not part of the covenant. It's someone outside the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So we may carry that before we've come to Christ, but once we are in Christ, that is removed from us.
Mm-hmm.
That is no longer to be who we are. 2 Corinthians 5:17 would say, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We're no longer in a covenant relationship or outside a covenant relationship that is filled with condemnation and darkness and shame and secrecy and heaviness. But instead, we've come into a new agreement, a new covenant with God in which our sins were placed upon Christ, and the guilt and the chastisement, the punishment for our sins were placed upon him so that they might be never more to be experienced by us.
Yeah. Mm. So with all of that, now, again, that foundation has been laid. We need to talk about conviction, these three words, conviction, guilt, and shame.
Yep.
And in order to talk about that, we need to talk about the Holy Spirit as well, because the Holy Spirit is a helper to us. This is the third person of the Trinity. This is God, the Holy Spirit, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
This is what lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in the believer, right? And that is the seal of the covenant, that the Holy Spirit lives in us, right?
He is the one that is the speaking voice internally for God, the conduit. He is the voice internally in us that speaks as God, because he is God.
Exactly, yes. So this verse right here, John 14:26, says, but the helper, this is Jesus talking, he says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So yes, this is a voice.
Bring to your remembrance every sin you ever committed. Yeah. No.
Not it.
No, it's not what it says.
Everything I said to you, Jesus is saying. Everything he has taught, the Holy Spirit says, yes, I say this is what he taught.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring this to your mind. So then that would be us needing to listen to this voice that lives in us, right?
That reminds us over again of who Jesus is and what he has done.
Yep. And this voice will teach us as well. Mm. Crazy. So John 16, verse 8, this is continuing on in this. Jesus says, and when he has come, that is the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And it says of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And it says of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So this is the role of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So this is where Christians get the belief, and partly rightly so, that the Holy Spirit's role is to convict. Now that word is important to understand that.
Because even us, as of last week, both had a different definition in our mind of the word conviction.
Right. Partly because of what we've grown up
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
Yeah. So for me, I grew up with an understanding that conviction was this God pointing out sin in my life. That was the primary function of the Holy Spirit within me, is to point out all my failures and my weaknesses and my shame. But you had a different look on that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I mean, I couldn't really speak to it before I was 17 or 18 or so, but this whole like idea of conviction and guilt. I listened to a podcast, I think I was 18 or 19, whenever I listened to it, and it was talking about the difference in guilt being something that is from the voice of Satan, and conviction being from the voice of the Holy Spirit, being where conviction brings truth with grace and guilt brings weight and shame. Yeah. And so those are two very different things. And so for me, hearing that, I was like, okay, those are the distinctions. And so for the last 6 years or so, you know, that has been the way I have thought through this stuff.
Yeah.
And so in us having this discussion, and through, you know, just recent history, the words conviction and guilt usually get used interchangeably, and even guilt and shame get used interchangeably. And we're like, okay, hold on. Let's like put words to these terms. This is what we're attempting today.
Yeah. So again, building on the foundation, if the Holy Spirit's role, it says, Jesus said he will convict the world of sin. And he goes on to say, because they do not believe in me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he's pointing out sin to those who do not believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
This word convict means to point out. So if Jesus has died for our sin and wants to remove the guilt of our sin and to free us from the remembrance of sin, then his role, the Holy Spirit's role, can't be to bring to remembrance all of our sin and to keep poking at all of our failures. His role would be to, if it was to point out sin, it would be only to free us from the sin.
Yeah.
If he was going to point out sin, it would be so that we would know that sin's been paid for. It would be only so that we would never live under the guilt and shame of and condemnation of that sin.
Yeah.
He wouldn't keep saying, you're the worst. You're a failure. You keep messing up. You're always doing wrong. Poke, poke, poke. That would not be the purpose.
Yeah. Now, I will say, and we had in our conversation of this, the conviction from the Holy Spirit whenever we have a sin pointed out to us, there is then a response in that time.
Correct.
And if we respond rightly to the voice of the Holy Spirit that says, that sin, that right there, what you have done is a sin,
right?
And you need to repent because it's been forgiven.
Yeah.
Whenever you respond rightly and say, I am turning from this way,
yes,
you walk in freedom.
Yes.
But whenever you grip it closer, tighter, and hold on to it, there will be guilt that the accuser of the brethren, like we'll get into, is going to point out to you and say,
right,
look at what you're holding on to. Look at what you do. Look how terrible you are.
Yes.
And there's going to be a tension and a guilt in there.
Right.
But that's not from the Holy Spirit saying,
correct,
look how terrible you are. Look what you've done. Look what you're hiding.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we have said here at Vertical, if the Holy Spirit is convicting, or when the Holy Spirit convicts, he will point at a sin and he will immediately point at the cross at the exact same time and say, this paid for. This has been, the debt of this has been removed.
Yeah.
You can be free of this. He will never just point at the sin. He'll always point to the relief and the remedy from the sin and the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
This is the good news for us.
Yeah.
I guess for me though, that became freedom for me at a point in my life because I only thought it was the Spirit's role was just to create
double
more
point.
Double point on me.
Convict. Look how terrible you are.
Yeah. You should have done better. Yeah. You should have done something else.
Yeah.
You're never gonna fill in the blank. You know, this is how wrong, how bad you are.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit does come to point out sin, but it's always with the determination to free us.
Yeah.
Never to weigh us down with it.
Exactly. Yes.
It also said that the Spirit would convict out of righteousness or toward righteousness. Mm-hmm. So this is a essential function of the Holy Spirit as well, is to point to the path to walk in.
Yeah.
Again, not out of, why didn't you take this path?
Exactly.
You no good.
Exactly.
You know that. No, that's
it is every bit of pointing to the cross and then saying, this is the way. And I will bring to remembrance the things in which I have taught you.
Yes.
You know, like that.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Well, exactly. You know,
blessed are those who give. Those are the things that Jesus said. And he's pointing out the path to us. Here's the path of what right living looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And even when it says that the Spirit will speak concerning judgment, it's not judgment on us.
Yeah, it's not concerning condemnation.
No,
yeah.
It's to say, as Jesus said, judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged.
Yeah.
In other words, the Spirit is going to speak and say, you don't have to listen to that liar. You don't have to listen to that condemner. You don't have to listen to that voice that keeps reminding you of your sin. He's been judged already. His way is the way of death. You don't have to walk in that way anymore. Jesus is continually leading us toward life, not toward greater condemnation.
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh. So good. Mm. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us as believers, how does he speak?
Yeah, well, I think like we're laying the groundwork here. It's important to know he speaks, the Spirit speaks, knowing we have been set free from judgment, condemnation, and the guilt we once had. So the Spirit will never, never repeat or replay past failures and sins.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're getting this ability to start discerning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, which voice is God's voice?
Yeah.
It's tough because the voice of the enemy, man, he's like a really good AI voice, you know? He knows how to duplicate the voice of the Holy Spirit and make you think that's him.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit, when he speaks, he knows that we have a new standing in Jesus, and that's what he wants to remind us of.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks to set us free, never to bring us back under the weight. And as we've said, he speaks pointing at the place in our heart and the cross. He keeps pointing movement, pointing forward, pointing for freedom's sake, pointing out of love, pointing for grace, pointing what's been poured out to us, pointing us to receive what has been given to us. That the Holy Spirit, that's his tone.
Yeah.
That's his motivation. Okay. That's his desire. So you have to learn to tune your ear to that voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Holy Spirit's function is.
Yeah.
And there's a fruit that comes from it. There's mm-hmm. a result that comes from that.
Mm-hmm. So this passage is really such a crucial building block to all of this stuff and the way in which we understand the difference between guilt mm-hmm. and shame. And the word that's used here is sorrow. So yeah. this is from 2 Corinthians 7, starting in verse 10. It says, "For godly sorrow," which we would say we would probably use the word conviction.
Right.
"For godly sorrow mm-hmm. produces repentance leading to salvation." That is the, whoa, I should not have done this.
Right.
I'm recognizing the weight of my sin, mm-hmm. but I'm recognizing this with an understanding of payment for my sin. I'm yeah. recognizing this in the context of there has been a way out of my bondage.
Yeah. And it produces actual change. That's what repentance means.
Yeah.
It's some of those words that has a lot of different meanings that people yep. have or understand it to have.
Yeah.
Some people think of repentance as, well, I have to be super, super sad and, you know, beat yeah. myself up. No, he's saying a godly sorrow, a conviction, it produces change.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
A change in your life, a change in your behavior. That's what real conviction produces. Yeah.
So it says, "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, not to be regretted."
Whew.
But
we could just pause yeah. right there. Yeah. Not to be regretted.
Yeah.
Not to be like, oh, this is terrible.
The pit in your stomach. Oh my goodness. It's
terrible. Yeah. Not to be
yeah.
regretted.
Yeah. Not that there's more shame
right.
that's dumped on you.
Yeah.
And then it contrasts it and says, "But the sorrow of the world produces death," or produces that feeling of despair, hopeless. I'm so miserable. I'm terrible. I have great sorrow. It's a heaviness on me, and I don't know how to move forward, right?
Yeah.
So that would be worldly sorrow.
Yeah, so there's two kinds of sorrows. Mm-hmm. There's a godly sorrow,
mm-hmm.
which is conviction, and then there's a worldly sorrow that mimics it.
Yeah.
But it leads to a place of just despair and
mm-hmm.
death.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So Paul, talking to the Corinthians, he says, "For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner," or you had conviction over what was going on in your church and your right. life. It says, "What diligence it produced in you," or what great like wisdom and desire to go, to move toward action and to yeah. have the symptom treated by yeah. the, you know, the cure, you know.
Real and change so, happened.
Exactly. It says, "What clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication."
Wow.
It doesn't say, "What guilt, what shame, how terrible are yeah. you?"
And what this depression, is the word. Anxiety, yeah, exactly.
Not
addiction.
At all. It says, "Because you responded to the godly sorrow, look at the life that flowed from you," right?
Yeah.
So those who are believers,
yeah.
you know what the godly sorrow is whenever God's grace impacted you in your mind and your soul and in your past. And whenever you said, "Wow, you're telling me Jesus died to erase that and to give me righteousness?"
Yeah.
I am filled with great life and joy. Not, "Look at Jesus. He's come here to tell you how terrible you are," actually.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's been moments in my life like that. Lots of them.
Yeah.
And when it happens, I think the right response is, I'm just going to determine to not believe that way that I used to believe anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on. I'm
yeah.
going to change how I have believed. I'm mm-hmm. going to repent of that, change that.
Change the
and
way
I'm going
you
to
think,
believe yeah. this now about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't always have to have this beat down sadness to it.
Tears at the altar.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I think sometimes that's where Christians land.
Mm-hmm.
They think, "Oh, I've got to make myself feel bad uh-huh. about my sin."
Yeah.
That somehow feeling bad enough will lead to me doing good enough.
Yeah. Or will result in the payment for your sin.
Oh.
It ain't. It doesn't. You
yes.
can't. It won't, you know?
I need to somehow on my own punish myself, crucify myself.
Yeah.
Beat myself up enough that I won't go back to doing what I used to do.
Yeah.
There's something about that that feels right.
Yeah, because you have all the control.
Yes, but it's the opposite of the gospel. Jesus yeah. interrupts the judgment that's on us and says, yeah. "No, I've come to forgive you, to free mm-hmm. you that you may have life."
Yeah.
So this requires a vast change in thinking for the Christian. I am not here, and the Spirit is not here to keep making me feel bad for what I've done or who I am. This is what I lived in some of this, and I still hear Christians do this from time to time. They begin a little tirade of how terrible they are. I know I'm the worst. I know I'm still a sinner at heart. I know deep down inside I'm still wicked. What?
To that we would say, hey, you should repent and be made new.
Yeah, because those are all lies from the enemy. Yeah. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that's not true anymore. Yeah, you are a new creation.
Exactly.
You are no longer that person. There may be patterns of sin that Jesus is weeding out in your life, but you are not wicked at your core anymore. Stop saying that.
Yeah.
You're making agreements with the enemy, and you're not listening to the Spirit. You're listening to another spirit. But this is where many Christians walk. They think they're supposed to still be aware that there's more sin in them, and they live with this pursuit of, oh, God, just keep showing me what a terrible sinner I am.
Yeah,
I just need to keep being aware of how much wickedness there is in me.
That's you know how much freedom that leads to, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and there, with that comes in that package this association that it's more spiritual to beat yourself up, keep replaying your faults, and keep focused on your failures. That is somehow the epitome of faith. And this is where many Christians live. And when they do, they live with their head down, not walking upright. They live anxious, depressed, unable to see victory in their life in any tangible ways. But think that this life of defeat is actually somehow spiritual. That is not
good
from
news.
Yeah, it's not good news, and it's not from the Spirit of God.
Yeah,
that is a spirit of man-made religion, and that's from the enemy. It's a spirit that says, I have to punish myself, I have to tell myself to do better, and I have no confidence in my new identity or my future. That's not from God.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God, as we have seen and we read from Scripture, points us to Jesus as the one who's come to remove shame, not bring more shame. The Spirit points to what we have received in Jesus. The Spirit points to who you now are in Jesus. The Spirit points to build you up in your faith. The Spirit points to remind you of His promises, not your sin. The Spirit points to give you hope and to give you confidence in your standing. That's what the Spirit says, and that's the Spirit of God. That's total opposite of the spirit of religion. Every religion, even some versions of church today, don't point to Christ as the freer. They point to Christ as the condemner.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yep, absolutely. More things that the Spirit says that we need to be in tune with. If we're, again, talking about there's voices that are coming at you. There's... it's important to know how to discern and what am I listening for? So these are things to listen for from the Spirit. The Spirit says, walk in your forgiveness.
Yeah.
Walk in the fact that you have been forgiven for your past.
Yeah.
So that would mean you don't walk every day thinking about all the terrible things you've done.
Correct.
The Spirit says, here are the blessings you have in Jesus. Yeah. That would mean we should be looking for what blessings do we have in Christ?
Yeah.
Right?
Not all of my shortcomings.
No. Spirit says, come boldly to the throne to worship.
Yeah.
Not cower because God actually really hates you because you're so terrible of a person.
Correct.
The Spirit says, stand in the confidence of your victory. The victory that Christ has won for you. It's on your account. You have the righteousness of Christ as a believer. Insanity. The Spirit says, resist every voice that is telling you anything different.
Yep.
That would be to be aware and to discern, what am I agreeing to?
Yep.
How am I living my life? The Spirit says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. The Spirit says, I am here to comfort and lead you into greater joy. The Spirit says, here is the path of life the Father has for you. The Spirit says, give forgiveness. And the Spirit says, be healed.
Yeah.
From all the things that have happened in your life, be healed from those. Find reconciliation, restoration, and let's move on.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not, the Spirit of God is not heavy-handed. He's not gruff. He's not cruel. He's not a punisher, a shamer, a guilter, or a reminder of past sins.
Yeah.
But the Bible says there is a voice that does all of that, that is heavy-handed, that is gruff and cruel and punishes and is a shamer and is a guilter. And that is the voice of the enemy. The book of Revelation tells us of a day coming when this one will be silenced. But for now, we know from this verse what his tactic is, what he is about. Revelation 12:10 says, "For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." There's coming a day when that will become reality. Praise God. But for now, he has a very specific task, and it is to continually, repeatedly, ongoingly accuse the followers of Jesus. He knows he can't take away their standing in Christ, but he can sure keep them from ever walking in that. And so he will do his best to replay and remind every believer of their past sins. He'll keep accusing them before the throne of God. He is pointing out sins, pointing out weaknesses, pointing out failures, and he accuses them and says, they deserve to be punished. They have no worth. They have no value. They shouldn't be used by you, God. They deserve punishment. That's his voice. That's his intent. And he uses guilt and shame and insulting and belittling language. So this means that we've got to be very careful when the voice about sin is speaking to us and know which one it is. One of them is designed to free you from it. Another is designed to entangle you in it.
Yeah.
One wants to see you walk in forgiveness and freedom. The other one wants to see you completely enslaved to your past sin and guilt and shame. The last thing the enemy wants is for you to stand up in full confidence that you have been redeemed. So we must be very discerning. What does the Spirit then sound like? Here it is. If there is something that comes to your mind during the day, during a conversation with someone, during a drive on a Sunday morning or whatever, a Monday morning, Tuesday morning, on the way to work, on the way home, whenever, it's at church, it's at home, wherever. If something specific is brought to your mind that you have not confessed to God or have confessed to someone else, then you should quickly confess that. Turn from it and move on. The Scripture tells us in 1 John, if we confess our sins, if we acknowledge them, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It does not say if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to beat us up, shame us, guilt us, hold us down, and keep us from ever experiencing the life of God. That's not what happens. So if there's something specific that's brought to your mind in a day that you have not confessed, then confess it. Accept that there's forgiveness for it, and then move on.
Yeah. And it's not even like, hey, whenever you recognize it, make sure no one else hears about this. Maybe the upcoming church service, maybe go down to the front during one of the songs and then kind of like have an emotional experience and then act like everything's okay and go back afterwards. That's sometimes how people are like, okay, I'll deal with my sin when I get to church, when I do this, you know, stuff. It is not that way. No. You can confess it to the Lord and then confess it to one another, and you will know God's forgiven me.
Yep.
I know I am right standing with God.
Yep. So when the Spirit speaks, it'll be specific.
Yep.
It'll be with the intent to forgive. Mm-hmm. It'll be with the intent to free you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be overly depressive, emotional, mm-hmm. or reactionary. It can be as simple as, wow, that was wrong, but I was believing. I'm not going to mm-hmm. believe that anymore. Thank mm-hmm. you, God. Mm-hmm. It can be just that. Now, it might be more emotional if you're having to confess something to God that you've held on to for a long period of time,
yeah.
or even to another person, something that you have done. There may be some emotion to it, but mm-hmm. If it's from God, it will be specific and it will be with hope attached to
yeah.
it. But here's the deal. If you all of a sudden in the middle of your day are flooded with an overwhelming sense of guilt and shame, and it's not specific, but it is more directed at just who you are as a person, then you should just know yeah. that is from the enemy.
Yeah.
You should not listen to that.
Yeah. That's not God convicting you of, oh, you have some, you're just terrible.
Right.
You're just the worst.
No, you know that's from the enemy. That's yeah. from the accuser of the brethren who's trying to flatline you and mm-hmm. to keep you from experiencing freedom in Christ. So you should, in that moment, you should do what the Holy Spirit does. I'm going to remind him of what Jesus has done.
Yeah, exactly.
The Spirit reminds us of what Jesus said and what mm-hmm. Jesus did. Mm-hmm. So you remind that enemy that you have been set free, you belong to Jesus, and you no longer are going to stand in that kind of condemnation. And if people in your life begin to attempt to guilt you or shame you when you have not done anything wrong or you have already made the issue right, mm-hmm. then you should do the same thing. You should recognize, I am free. I am not going to bow to that guilting, that shaming, that gaslighting, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stand in who I am in Jesus. That's what we're called to. That's the freedom yeah. that we have. And it's important that we know this. The enemy doesn't want you to stand in confidence. No. He wants you to be dominated. Exactly. He wants you to be cowering. Mm-hmm. And when you are dominated with guilt and shame, then what will follow will be inadequacy, mm-hmm. insecurity,
yep.
and you'll end up turning to something else to mm-hmm. somehow relieve the pain. Mm-hmm. This is not that day. This is the day to stand yes. in the assurance of who you are in Christ. This is yes. the day to stand in the assurance of what the Holy Spirit's role is in your life. And if he speaks to you, then follow that lead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Follow what he has for you. There's so many times I turn to these next two verses to help me because I walked in this for a period of time. But 1 John 3:20 and 21 became a lifeline for me. It says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." It's okay to have confidence toward God. It's right.
Yep, exactly.
It's very good to be confident. I am loved. I am forgiven. I am chosen. I am healed. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Stand in that. Mm-hmm. 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And that little phrase right there, because as he is, so are we in this world.
That's crazy.
As he is, what is he today? Mm-hmm. He is seated with the Father. He is fully at peace. He is in all of the inheritance that the Father has for him. There is nothing between them except peace and joy. And as he is, so are we in this mm-hmm. world. Stand in that. Accept mm-hmm. all of that. And then Hebrews encourages us to draw near with a heart in full assurance, mm-hmm. having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So,
so good.
What do you do with all of this today? You know what the Spirit's voice is.
Yep.
You know it clearly and you listen to it. Yep. He'll always lead you forward to freedom and never backward to shame. And you denounce the lies of the enemy. You actively, yeah. verbally,
yes.
out loud,
yep.
do that. Say, I will not cower to that lie. There is no condemnation for me in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. If you're convicted of something, if something is pointed out to you, whether it's a sin or a path to go or a grace that's been given to you, confess it.
Stand in it.
Move on.
Yep, exactly. Stand in the
yeah.
the Spirit's truth. speaking to you.
Yeah. Get out of guilt.
Yeah.
Get out of shame. Get out of punishing yourself. Mm-hmm. Refuse to deny that Jesus died for you. Mm-hmm. Because if you're punishing yourself, you're denying that Jesus died for you. Stop that. Move on. And let's stand in confidence. This, I think, will help the believer. It's helped me.
Yep. Same.
To know the difference between conviction and guilt.
Yeah. So good. Love it.
You imagine a generation that understands that, walks in that, the powerful, righteous force. What an army.
See you there.
What a church they would be. And may that be true in our day, because that's what the world's using today.
Yep.
I'm gonna shame you. I'm going to cancel you.
Yep.
I'm going to threaten you.
Yep.
And you better bow. You better cower to me. You better do what I say. You better apologize for your very existence. That's just the enemy at play. It's time for the church to stand up and all that.
So, come on.
Very good.
It's good.
All right. Thanks for joining us today. It is our prayer that this is life to you, because it's life from Jesus to us. So come join us at Vertical. See what God's doing here. Captives are truly being set free by the truth. So keep lifting him up and living him out.